This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information. Well, hey, if you haven't joined us before, I want to welcome you. This is the day that we all get together, us, you know, shower door guys, and talk about shower door stuff. It's pretty nerdy, but it's a lot of fun, man. If you are in the shower door business or just in the glass business in general and dabbling in shower doors from time to time. But anyway, welcome. And if you've got any questions or you know, any issues that you're running into, you know, we're happy to see what we can do to, you know, brainstorm something to help you out. You know, I was just talking with Mike here a little bit earlier, and he brought up a good topic that I thought is deserving of some discussion. You want to kind of just recap what you were talking about there earlier, Mike?
Sure. I've had over the last 2 months, I've had several customers who are repeat customers, for instance, kitchen and bath design houses that use us. And they've all asked me a similar question. And that is, how can they protect their price when they ask me for a quote and then the job's not done until 3, 4, 5 months in the future? And you've had one and two price increases. How can everybody be protected? It's a legitimate question. It's a real situation, especially in light of the big price increase we've had just a couple weeks ago. And I was curious as to how you are handling that. Some of the quotes I gave were back in January, and they're anticipating a template date in early August, and wanting to know if I can hold that price. So. Fortunately, I have good relationships and we're trying to talk through it, but I don't know if there's a good answer because prices have absolutely gone up.
Well, I think the first thing you say is this is an estimate. It is not a price. It's not a quote. Nobody can give a valid, accurate quote 6-8 months out, especially not in this economy. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little unrealistic of them to expect you to hold a price 8 months later, don't you?
Oh yeah, I do.
Yeah, but yeah, well, Steve, that looked good.
I do, but you know, the reality is just a couple years ago, the prices moved very little.
Yeah, that's true. Same with gasoline and everything else.
I know it's a different environment now, but I don't know an answer. You know, fortunately, like I said, I have good relationships and we're trying to talk through it, but you hate to provide this inflated price that's not real. I don't know what, maybe you do that and then tell the customer that if at the time of templating that, you know, there's a good chance this might come down, but I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Do you give them a percentage cap?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Maybe you give them a cap on a percentage. It won't go up more than X percent in X amount of time. Just throwing that out. I don't know.
Well, given this recent glass price increase, I don't know. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, no, that's right. Anybody else.
Yeah. Do you have a contract with these designers or anything like that? Or is it just...
It's not a contract, Adrian. It's a 17 year relationship where they anytime they have a shower enclosure, they call me and say, you know, give us a price number one, so we can work it into our budget, and then we'll call you when it's ready.
Yeah, we sort of ran into that same situation too with a builder here. It's a subdivision, but they're high end subdivision, so. We're doing all the mirrors, cabinet doors, shower doors, everything's heavy glass. And so our prices went up and we're sort of down to the last couple of houses. And since we did a contract, we're sort of having to kind of eat that. And we called our suppliers, you know, I deal with Old Castle and And we were fortunate that they held their prices for us, even though, I mean, really good. So they held their prices for us, even though, you know, the prices went up. So, I mean, I went from paying, I mean, I'm paying like $8 a square foot on clear glass right now, and they kept their prices at $5.92 a square foot for us. So, wow. I mean, yeah, so they kept it. But because we made them, we did a lot of shower doors in that subdivision. I mean, like you said, there were high-end homes. I mean, nice ones. So, yeah. And then we got another one that we're doing that's another high-end subdivision that all heavy glass. And so we had to raise our prices with them, and they understood. I mean, so, and besides, where else are they going to go? I mean, we've already done over 100 houses with them. They got more to go with, so they can't really change the look of it, you know?
So, I just don't know what I understand from their perspective. I understand it completely. In January, it was $1,800. And all of a sudden in August, it's $2,600 for the same product. You know, based on the formula I use to provide a quote.
Have you talked to your supplier about, you know, maybe holding their price, or are they, I mean, because there's wiggle room with them, even though they said they have wiggle room a lot of it too.
Yeah, the answer is yeah. I do talk to the suppliers. I have very solid and good relationships with them too. But I still think it's a legitimate question. Sometimes a supplier they're going to say, look, the reality is that quote's 6 months old, and you know, we'll help you a little bit, but you're going to have to eat a little bit as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. What is your normal policy as far as, you know, how long you'll honor an estimate?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great question, because when the prices weren't as volatile as they have been this year, I would honor it for it seemed like I didn't have that issue, but
indefinitely.
Now,
yeah.
Indefinitely. But now I've recently, just not recently, in the last 3 months, you know, there's a note on every quote that says the prices are valid for 30 days.
Or for 5 days.
Yeah. Well, I recently dropped that because of this volatility. You know, but I mean, I believe in honoring what I've quoted, but at the same time, you can't take one on the chin like that over and over again. We give a lot of quotes out to, you know, these people send us a lot of business. There's a lot of quotes of mine that are 3-4 months old. And so, you know, that's a lot of money to take a hit on.
Yeah. And I think it's different, you know, for a long-term relationship type of a customer than it is for someone who's just a shopper who's come around asking for quotes. We do a lot. I do a lot of quotes. I mean, we make it really easy for people to get an estimate from us just online, you know, fill out a form, yeah, send you an estimate. So I do a ton of those. Yeah. And then when those people circle back after 6 months and they're like, hey, so we're ready to do this. It's like, hey, well, first of all, prices, you know, don't stay good for 6 months.
And I think it's easier to deal with somebody like that versus the ones you have long-term relationships with. But because the ones with the long-term relationships, you do have an opportunity to have a conversation. You know, they're experiencing the same thing on their end with price volatility. I find it easier to deal with just the one-offs, if you will, versus because you want to maintain the relationship. You don't want to damage the relationship, but at the same time, honor your word. It's just been challenging.
Yeah, for me, I just don't have a ton of those. I don't have a whole bunch of contractors or designers or anything. I mean, I've got a handful, you know, yeah, I know what you mean. It's easier if you don't know somebody just to be firm, give them that tough love, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if it's a longstanding relationship, you know, but if it is someone you have a long-term relationship with, kind of, you know, business relationship, then, you know, you should be able to level with them too and say, hey, you know, I want to give you the best deal I can. This is what's going on. It's like not, you know, any breaking news that prices are going up. Everybody's experiencing that everywhere.
Yeah. But going back to the original question that they asked me is how do you protect yourself? I mean, I'm open to anybody's suggestions. I don't know if there's a way you do protect. You can't predict the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why you got to, I mean, you got to put, you know, how long good are your quotes? Mine are 5 days right now because it's unstable market. I mean, but, you know, 5 days, I'm going to change it to 30 days. I think we're kind of leveled off now. I don't know, maybe, but yeah, you got to just put on there your 30 days, you know, after that, you know, we'll go back to it and circle around to it and see what happens, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you had this customer for 17 years, I mean, loyalty is, you know, you showed your loyalty. I mean, it's kind of like, I'm sure, I mean, they'll understand at the end of the day. That's what we had too. So, I mean, hey, Bill. ¿Cómo estás, amigo?
Muy bien.
Nice. We're hobbling over here.
Un poquito.
We're hobbling poquito.
You got those Cubans. You got those Cubans over there. So I'm sure you know a little bit.
Un poquito. 3 years.
What do you mean those Cubans? What kind of way is that?
3 years of tobacco farms when I was a kid. You know.
So what's your policy, Bill Dobman, when it comes to estimates? Do you have what's your shelf life on a quote?
Estimates on homeowners is just like Mike says. You change it. That's not a big deal. The bigger deal is your longer term customers, your big customers. I just had the conversation this afternoon with one. We got a pretty good size assisted living project. And we quoted it a month ago. They just gave us the contract and I didn't want to sign it because I know the price was impending. So I called the purchaser. We had a talk. I says, all right, here's the situation. Before I sign this, our prices have just gone up. I'm sure you're dealing with that with everybody else. He said, we are. He said, the contractor put a clause in their contract that if the price goes up and they can justify it, they have the right to increase it to the owner. All I have to do is show them the letter from our supplier that the price, if I can justify it, if I give them something in writing, they have a clause in their contract to go back to the owner. I said, okay. So we've got four major ones pending right now. I've already addressed number one. So we've got three more to address, but we're going to do it the same way. So I think the bigger customers, you have to have that conversation. They all understand it. Mm-hmm. They're dealing with concrete, rebar, sheetrock, windows, appliances, every single
trade.
So you don't have to take it on the chin. You just have to have that good discussion and relationship with them. Mm-hmm. Don't try and kill them. Don't take that 40% and mark your price up 40%, because we know that the glass is only a portion of your total price. It's not 40%.
Right.
So, I mean, just be honest with it, but cover your costs. Mm-hmm. If you're fair with them, it's going to build a good long-term relationship. If you try and pull one over on them, you could lose that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had conversations about meeting in the middle. You know, I obviously are not going to, don't expect them to take the entire hit. We're going to share that and work through this. But I think it's raising the awareness that it's a volatile market and these things are happening. Maybe it's a short term thing and we'll get to some stability, you know, over the course of the next 6 months, say, you know, maybe the course of the next year. But it's just, It's just, like I said, four or five have asked me the same question within the last 3 weeks.
So. I see it flattening out. I agree with Adrian there. For instance, I see houses go on the market now with open houses. 2 months ago, that house was sold. It didn't go on an open house. They put it on MLS and it was gone in an hour. Now there's open houses again. People are actually lowering prices on things. I haven't seen that. So there is a stability coming around. Even some of the freight costs are coming down from the overseas stuff. That's a good sign too. I don't know how good it is, but at least it's a relief.
Yeah.
So I do see it stabilizing. I think the suppliers their lead times are shortening up too. We were at 72 weeks on aluminum extrusions. And I just got an email this morning. They got it down to 52 weeks. So that knocked 20 weeks off. That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's substantial.
So do you think they're coming down on their lead times because they're catching up, or because with the same demand, or the demand has dropped off and so they're starting to catch up because they don't have as many orders?
That's a great question, Brian. And I was wondering the same thing, and I don't have an answer for that. Really good question. Has it slowed down where the new orders are not there and they're able to catch up, or did they just hire more staff or go to two shifts and are starting to shorten it up? I can't answer that yet. I just got the email yesterday. I'll find out though.
Yeah. I think demand is going to be dropping with prices going up, price of gas, the price of milk, the price of everything going up. People are starting to make decisions. And, you know, in a lot of cases, the shower door is less important than eating or
don't
getting to work.
Don't even say that. Don't even say
that. I know. It's a scary thing, but it's a reality. And so I think demand will start to drop, don't you?
Yes and no. Depends what the demand is. If it's new construction, it may. But then again, when new construction stops, people decide, well, I'll stay in my existing home and remodel it. So we could still be staying busy. And now you're dealing with homeowners, which is better cash flow and a little higher margins, you know?
Yeah.
So the good thing is still come out okay.
Yeah. I see that frameless shower doors have become the standard.
Yes.
And so nobody wants to remodel their bathroom and have this beautiful tile shower, but still have a shower curtain. Nobody wants to do that. The standard now is frameless, and that's what they're going with. That works to our favor.
Absolutely, yes.
Do any of you guys do the alternative, like a frame shower still? Or because, you know, sometimes they are a little bit cheaper in some ways.
We haven't done anything less than 3/8 glass in 10 years.
I just did a one today. The bypass, simple bypass with the return, with a notch return. A customer didn't want to pay. I think my price was like $4,000, something like that, for a 3/8 Cambridge. And I gave him a price for a regular standard basic bypass with, you know, reed glass in it, and for $1,200, and they went with it. So I mean, I didn't make as much money as I wanted to, you know, compared to a frameless. But I mean, you got to keep the money flowing. You can't just, you know, say no.
You know? Oh, absolutely.
But it's got their own strategy.
And I had to fix two broken windows at the house too. So it's like, I added more, you know, we do broken windows still. I mean, I still know how to do that. Had to put a different kind of belt on, but I did it, you know? Yeah. So it's kind of like I'm right with that, you know, with Brian, you know, like, you know, I just got to get it done, you know?
Yeah. Everybody's got their own strategy. You know?
Yeah, like people are not buying, they're not wanting to buy the, you know, fancy 3/8 glass. I mean, I'm all right. Well, you know, I got to have a different option then, because, you know, I got to keep these doors open and my guys, you know, keep my guys, you know, working, you know? So
yeah.
Got to do what I can. But I mean, I'm like, I went from ordering like maybe 3 to 4 showers a day to maybe 3 or 4 a week now. It's just kind of, I mean, I still got a wirehouse full of shower doors. We got to do still, but that's from before everything changed. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I have to change, you know, I got to approach it differently now and offer frame showers, which I hate doing because for one thing, I mean, they take a little longer, but you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, like I said, it keeps food on the table too as well. I can't be picky.
Yeah, my experience has been completely different than that. My experience has been that since this increase, I'm going gangbusters. Last week, my sales were like through the roof. You know, I've like got a certain number that I know that I need to sell this X amount of gross, you know, sales in order to make, you know, what I need to do. To, you know, to get by, whatever. And I'm like, I sold like triple, more than triple that last.
You live in Santa Cruz, Chris, man. People don't have money.
I position myself. Money over there. I position myself that way. And you like, there are plenty. There are plenty of other shops in Santa Cruz who aren't doing that. Believe me, every shop in Santa Cruz isn't doing what I do. But it's like I position myself to do that. And you have to remember, like, money really. Money does get created all the time because big banks just make it out of thin air, but money doesn't go away. I mean, money doesn't get, it just expands, right? So when people are losing, other people are winning.
Every economy
is good for somebody,
right? Money's getting shifted somewhere. So if your target market is the people who are going to lose, when there's a shift, then yeah, you're going to have to do buddy hackouts and stuff like that. But if your target market is the winners, then you're going to have trouble keeping up.
How do you guys target those people though? Because I mean, I'm in a city where I got like three or four cities. We're about 100,000, a little bit over 100,000 population. That includes the little cities around me. You know, there's all kinds of different, you know, there's people that have money, that people that new money, old money. And then we got, you know, the people that, you know, that are, you know, want to bargain, you know? So how do you guys narrow down to those people?
I'll let Bill answer that one.
I don't like telling anybody what to do with their business. It's so different for everybody. First thing, Chris, what I like is what you've done, and I think a lot of the other guys on here as Shower Door Professionals done, the name of your company is what you do. So it says Shower Doors in the name of your company. So people are coming to you because they want the shower door. I find that a lot of my competitors here are just glass companies. People don't seem to think of glass companies for shower doors. They think that if you go to a glass company, oh yeah, I can do shower doors, but that's not really my expertise. If you know what I mean? It's like going to a specialist in a medical field. You can go to an all-around doctor or you can go to a specialist. Mm-hmm. And I think by naming yourself and positioning yourself, so Adrian, you're talking about how do you position yourself? Yeah. A lot of it comes with the marketing and it starts with the name of your company. And then it goes to the rest of the marketing message that you send out. You need to be the top of the professionals in the field. And everything you need to do needs to be professional to follow along that. That way people want to do business with you instead of you asking them to do business with you. And there's a big difference. Okay. You got to create the demand. That's the difference. You got to show them the professionalism. You know, your truck's got to look good when they drive up to the house. You got to treat the people with soft skills and enough where they're going to recommend you to their friends, as opposed to saying, oh, I just used ABC Glass Company. I don't know. I just searched and I found somebody. Or
they answered the phone when I called.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, all those professional things, but now you're targeting the customers that have the money that want to spend it.
Yeah.
So it's not a short answer, like, how do you just target it? It's a real marketing plan, starting from the name of your company and positioning yourself on Google and your proposals, how professional they are. All of a sudden, they're going to know that you're a professional company. Yeah. And then you're going to be able to get that kind of money.
Yeah. See, I mean, as far as Google, we're top in our area. I mean, we're number one. We're on the top. But I guess, I mean, I don't know if it's just nerves or something, but, you know, like I said, I was going from ordering, you know, three or four a day to, you know, three or four a week, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like I said, maybe it's leveling off. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, I'll tell you another thing is that, and I know that it seems like if things are slowing down, that you have to start taking on those lower paying projects, kind of like what you were describing with frame shower enclosures. And what we decided to do, like, you know, when I decided to specialize in shower doors, I was still doing other things. And, you know, even, you know, within a couple of years ago, I started to cut out those other things. I decided to start telling people I only do shower doors. I only do shower doors. And I told my wife, this is what we're going to do. You know, we're going to stop doing this other stuff, only do shower doors. This is where we're making our money. And that it made her nervous. She's like, how are we going to stay busy enough when we say no to the stuff? It's like, I just trust me. Just go with me on this, you know? And when we started saying no to other business, we got busier.
Yeah.
We started getting busier. And then we got so busy that I was like, hey, we really don't have time to do these frame shower doors anymore. I'm just going to start saying no to these, what we call manufactured shower doors, you know? And then I told my wife, and she got nervous. She's like, how, you know, because the idea of taking work off the table is counterintuitive. It seems like it's gonna cost you work. But lo and behold, we get busier and busier. The more I say no to, the more in demand I am. Because when people call me and say, hey, do you do this? And I say, no, we just don't do that. We don't do that. We've got a reputation for only doing what we do. And people say, well, how can you only do shower? I mean, how can you stay in business just doing frameless shower doors? How can you do that? Well, I don't know. How can we do that? I mean, you know, you must be good at it, right? You must be good. So there is, you know, it's a marketing thing like Phil's talking about. I mean, we changed our name. I used to be Santa Cruz Showcase. We changed it to Showcase Shower Door. Having the name Showcase in there is good because that kind of denotes high end, right? We're Showcase Shower Door. So that's kind of what Bill is talking about, putting that in the name, you know? And then there's just kind of a mental attitude that you have to develop that, like, hey, we are, you know, we are the best, you know, we are, you know, the ones that people want to hire. You know, if people hire us, they're going to get the best. And you start to just project that. And it's not like, you know, I don't want you to think I'm saying, you know, just positive thinking, you think it and you get it or whatever. I mean, although there is some truth to that.
I'm trying to think of a name for myself, what I could change it to.
Yeah, right. But it's something to think about.
Adrian, Absolutely. Think of this. Adrian, I like you a lot. I've never met you in person, but you've got a great attitude. Think about, what have you got? Four trucks in a row? Three, four trucks?
Five. We have six.
Six. Yeah. Take one, just one, and label it differently. Come up with a sub business. Even if it's Adrian Shower Door or California Shower Door or Central California Shower Door.
I have a name. Apex Shower Door. How about that?
Ooh, that's good. Apex.
Perfect. Apex Shower Door.
It's like the top, right?
Yeah. Right.
Register it as a fictitious name. It's under your same corporation, but then you can market yourself. But track how many have you done this year per week and watch what happens after you go at Apex. Get guys with a different shirt that say Apex Shower Doors and really spruce up that line. Watch what happens. Watch what happens.
I'm gonna talk about that. Yeah.
In other words, you still have your regular glass shop. You're not getting rid of that. And the people that call you for windows and everything else, they'll still call you. But see what new business you can get with Apex Shower Doors. I love that name. Love it.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. What the hell to devise.
That's really good. I'm going to try that.
Take it that, Adrian. Take it that, man.
There you go. Vitor, you back north?
Yes. Unfortunately, just got it here.
You miss us yet?
Yeah. I got tenant too.
Yeah. Good. Adrian, I bet you can increase your shower door business just by doing that.
I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to talk. It's a business between me, my dad, and my brother. We all are. My brother does the window portion, the window division. I do the shower doors and custom glass, and my dad, he manages the office. At the end of the day, everything goes through my dad. He's the CEO. I'm the vice president, even though the vice president still has to listen, you know, talk to the CEO. But
go get your dad. Get him on this call.
Well, he's not here. He's gone.
He's All gone. Right. nothing's going to happen till you get dad in front of us.
That's right. No, but sometimes, my dad, he gets kind of nosy. He comes in sometimes and just, but he doesn't join a Zoom meeting, but he'll watch after we record it, like the next day.
All right.
He'll watch. He watches.
Okay. Mr. Lando.
He'll watch this.
Okay. What's his first name?
Octavio.
I'm telling you now, let Adrian run with Apex shower doors and watch your shower door sales go up and your profits go up. Yeah. I guarantee it'll happen. Give them the leeway to do that.
Yep. There you go. That's right.
That's because Bill said so.
Let's do it.
Bill says so, man. He's the man.
I'll tutor him if he needs help too.
Mentorship.
I'll make you a deal you can't pass up.
Oh, dang. Deal.
All right.
Dude, that's something, man. That's not nothing.
Let's do it, Adrian.
All right. Got a deal.
All right. Yeah. Love it.
Great topic, man. Great
Apex. Topic. Apex. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good name.
Yeah.
Start working on a logo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had in Santa Cruz, I had one other company open up since I was here called Self Shower Door. I had Shower Door in the name. And every time I saw the truck, it never had a shower door on it. It had like Milgard windows on it or something. And I don't think that company even calls itself Shower Door anymore. I don't think that's part of the name anymore. So, I mean, it's something that you have to really commit to and really stick with. But if you do, it'll pay off. Because
you took all their business, Chris.
Yeah, I think I did. Just the good business. I leave all that bad business out for them to fight over. Nice.
What else are we going to solve tonight?
Oh, yeah, we just solved that problem. Listen, what else is there?
Any of you guys go to the Glass Expo so I can meet some of you?
Expo?
Glass Build.
In Vegas?
Oh, yeah. Glass Build.
We're trying to put glass that build, together yeah. now, yeah. Oh, we're going to, actually, if we all go or if enough people here go, Chris and I will try and put something together where this group can meet up.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm going.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to.
Is that in September again?
October. I think it's 18, 19, 20, because it's Keith's birthday is October 18th.
Oh, that's so cool.
I happen to remember seeing that come out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, yeah. Let me know if you guys are going to go. I would love to.
I'm going.
We're going.
Yeah,
see, we're going. And we'll do something.
You'll start seeing the California guys because it's in Vegas. They won't come to Atlanta.
That's right.
Yeah, in October, we're going to be wearing our shorts and tank tops.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You're right, Bill.
I don't know if you want to see me tank top, though.
That's a beautiful time of year in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, actually, that's the time to go, really.
You know, the last time they had it there, they had the muscle, whatever. I see some big old girls come out of a freaking limousine or a freaking big old gun. I'm like, oh, God.
Girls?
Yeah, they had like the strongest woman or strongest man or I don't know. They had some competition there.
What were their pronouns?
Yeah.
Oh, them.
I think you went to a different show, Adrian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, man, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know the Chamber of Commerce started that slogan? The Chamber of Commerce started that slogan, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Wow, good for them.
Can you believe it?
Brilliant.
Wow. Talk about marketing, baby.
That's right. It's
crazy.
Hey, Brian, several Zoom calls ago, circling back to that conversation about specializing, you were commenting that you were going to try to minimize the insulated glass line and focus more on shower doors. So I was just curious, have you done that and has it, have you seen the benefits of that since that time?
Yeah, it's going to be a long transition. Obviously I've got to replace income with the shower doors from the insulated glass, we have significantly reduced the amount of insulated glass that we've been doing. And I don't do single pane anymore. And we have found another company in town that we've been funneling the those customers to. I'm still building up the shower door business, talking to new contractors, talking to designers, still building it up. It's going to be a while. Mm-hmm. I'm in it for the long haul. So, but I think I've been thinking about the name, Chattanooga Premier
Apex
Glass.
Apex is off the table.
Apex. Well, Apex. You're in Yuba City, though. I'm in Chattanooga. You can have Apex. It's a great name. I don't want it, though. But Bill, you bring up a good point. I've been trying to figure out how to change my name, but I don't want to change the name. But I think DBA is what you're talking about, opening up another company, and I don't know exactly how to do all that. I'm just a glass guy, is the way I like to put it. I think doing a DBA is a smart way to do that.
Well, what's your structure now? Are you a corporation? Are you a DBA? LLC. You're an LLC. Okay.
Yeah.
So under that same LLC, you can open up an additional company. And in Florida, they call it a fictitious name. You come up with a made up name. So your corporation might be, ABC Corporation. Doing business as, and then whatever DBA, you're doing right. business as is your DBA. But you could have multiple DBAs under that same corporate. So you just open a separate DBA. So if it's Chattanooga Shower Doors or...
Oh, that's got a nice ring to it, right?
Brian's Shower Doors or, Green Light Shower Doors. I don't know. Double Apex, whatever it is. triple Apex.
Right, yes.
You do something like that, but then focus on that. So at least shower doors is in the name. So when people are thinking of a shower door, right. That's going to pop in your head quicker than ABC Glass or Chattanooga Glass. They're going to think you're a glass guy and maybe you do shower doors. You don't want them to think that. You want to think that this is the specialist. This is who to go to. It really will make a difference.
Yeah, that's something I've been thinking about for quite a while since I started thinking about this transition. I haven't figured out how to do it, but DBA makes the most sense, obviously.
It should be an easy thing to do. I just don't know if your state allows you to have more than one DBA per corporation.
I think that's a pretty standard thing, anywhere with a corporation or LLC, you can have just as many DBAs as you want.
Yeah, but you do have to register them.
So yeah,
you can't deceive the public is what they don't want the public to be deceived.
Right.
Having multiple names under the same corporation. But if you register it, you file properly, it won't affect your taxes because you're filing under the corporation, the LLC. It's just that that's a subcategory of it.
Right.
But I think if you focus and you market it that way, or you can even just say a division of Chattanooga Glass, if that's the name of your company.
I was thinking about that too.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what Billy Britt's doing right now. He didn't want to get rid of Britt and Tilson Glass, but he's got, I think it's Northwest Carolina Shower Door.
Huh.
So he's doing it the same way.
Yeah. It's a great way to just kind of experiment, just kind of hang it out there, and try it out. And then if it works, you might end up just moving everything over to there and kind of downsizing what you were doing before until that kind of just disappears. And then you're all into shower doors. Or, if you find out, hey, that didn't really work the way I wanted it to, or I'm not really sure I want to go in that direction, you do the opposite. Just kind of let that, let that slide. But it's a great way to kind of, I've got it. You guys know me. I got a bunch of irons in the fire, So I've always got several things going on. And that's how I do it. You know, it's like, it's all, those are all DBAs under my corporation, which is Showcase Service Industries Inc. And then Showcase Shower Door Company is just a DBA of that. And then Showcase Innovations, you know, that's just another DBA. Got other things going on too. But that's really, really good advice, you know, because you don't have to like stop what you're doing now and start something new. You right. just start something up kind of in tandem, you know, with what you're already doing. And really, you are already doing that. You're just kind of giving it a name.
Yeah.
And like Bill's saying, you know, it's funny. I know all of you guys are going to be able to relate to this. If I say, you know, somebody asks you, oh, what do you do? And you say, oh, well, I'm in the glass business. That's never enough for people to understand what you do, right?
Yeah.
Never is. It's like, oh, so what do you do? Oh, I'm in glass. I mean, I'm in the glass business. Oh, what do you make drinking glasses? Do you make eyeglasses? Do you like blow glass? Oh, you mean like the glass in bands? Are you talking about, you know, like marbles? You know, I mean, there's so many different kinds of glass. I mean, that's not even enough to really describe what you do. No, I'm in, you know, so it'd be like, oh, I'm in, you know, flat glass. And the flat
glass. Yeah, that doesn't work either.
No, I mean, you have to really define it down about three or four subcategories before people even know what you're talking about. So now think of how powerful it is to call your company something shower
door, right?
You know,
turn it around. Think about the last thing you needed to buy for your house. I don't care if it's a wood flooring, blinds for your window. And if you didn't know anybody in the trades, what do you do? Do you look in a magazine? Do you go to a newspaper? Do you go on Google? If you go on Google, do you scroll past the paid ads to go to organic? Or does it matter? What do you look for? Do you look at pictures or you look for reviews? Are you buying the company or are you buying the product? Or are you looking for a product and then finding out about the company? So there's a whole psychology of what people go through. What are they looking for? Are they looking for somebody who gives them pricing? Right on the website? Because I haven't found a shower door guy yet that actually puts pricing on their website because there's too much of a variable.
Right.
Now they may starting at 525, but the real shower door you're going to get is $1,200. But we've got something that starts at 525, but there's nothing carved in stone on pricing. It's not like you're buying a dishwasher with a certain model. So it's the same thing with window treatments, flooring, anything to do with home services. So just think about what you do if you go shopping, what's important for you. And that's how you tailor your marketing. You've got to be in the buyer's head. What's the buyer searching? What's most important to them? And then that's where you're going to gear your advertising towards.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, I had a lady in the other day trying to sell me advertising in a print ad. And I ran her through that same gamut. I said, okay, let's say you were shopping for shower doors. You didn't know about us. Where do you look? She goes, well, I always go on online. I said, great. How many times have you ordered things online and it showed up your house and it's a piece of crap? It's not what you thought it was. They gave you the size in metrics instead of inches and it's a little thing and you thought it was going to be this big. Or it's flimsy or it doesn't have batteries or it needs installation or whatever it is. The fine print, you were looking at price. And how many times did you get discouraged when you got it and you ended up sending it back? Or paying a shipping fee or whatever it was. She says, yeah, you're right. That happens a lot. I said, so why are people focused on that? Why aren't they focused on a reliable company that they don't have to worry if they're not going to get their deposit back or if they give a deposit, is the company still going to be in business in 3 weeks or 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. Those are the things they really should be focused on. But for some reason, everybody's looking at price. And it shouldn't be about price. It should be quality and trustworthiness and value. It shouldn't be about price. Yeah.
Well, and it's our job. It's our job to tell people about that.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain amount of conditioning, right, that people undergo in their life around pricing.
Yeah.
So like people are conditioned to go like, okay, well, you know, what's the best price? What's the lowest price? You know, how you know it's How do I negotiate for a better price or whatever? And a lot of that isn't, it isn't that they can't afford it. It isn't that even that they're really cheap. It's just conditioning. It's like what they think socially that they're expected, you know, to kind of behave in that way. And what marketing and really even advertising is about is educating people. Oh, you may not know this, but like what you really want is quality. I mean, quality is important. You know, I mean, I don't know how often you hear that message. Quality is important. You almost probably never hear that message.
Not enough.
But it's totally true. I mean, it's so true. And it's like, it's something I've learned as I've gotten older. You know, I used to, you know, I need a pair of shoes. Yeah, who cares about shoes? Shoes exist now. You buy them, you wear them, they wear out, you buy new ones. You know, so I'm looking for a good deal on shoes, you know. Well, one day I went to like REI, you know, because I was like, I need some hiking shoes. I've been to hiking. I've been going through these hiking shoes like mad, you know, because I'm out in the woods all the time. So I'm like, I'm going to buy some decent like hiking shoes. So like I go in there and I'm like, I've got a friend of mine, actually my brother-in-law is with me. I'm like, oh, those shoes right there are great shoes. So they're, you know, they're expensive. You know, they're over a couple $100, you know, for a pair of hiking shoes, which, you know, is you can pay more, you know. But man, I put these shoes on and it's like, wow, man, my feet have never felt so good. I feel like my feet are being hugged by these shoes, you know, and it's like, it is so well worth it to spend the extra money. And when I think about it, it's like, man, my feet are really important. You know, I'm not 20 years old anymore. It's like, I don't know how much longer I'm going to have these feet. You know, it's like, I need to really take care of them. And I'll never buy a cheap pair of shoes again. It really makes a difference, but nobody's out there like telling people, hey, what you really need is good. What you really want is good service, you know, service after the sale, you know, people who care about, you know, your business and people who are local, people who are going to be around. And so you add all that stuff to your marketing. And you wake people up to the fact that, oh, wow, maybe I do want, you know, good quality.
Chris, I would love to challenge. I would love to challenge everybody on this call and anybody else that's listening that's not on the call tonight for next week's thing to say, find out what do their customers really want? So that if they were to place an ad, let's just say you were to place a print ad and you had to take a column and you break, and in that column, answer their question. How do I say this? You only have a short period of time to get somebody's attention and to show off your product or your company. What do you think are the key items that you need to get into those people's head when they're searching for frameless shower doors? For instance, do you write down the side, I've got 2,000 five-star Google reviews. Is that important? It may be. It may give you some credibility, but they want more than that. Okay, I've done 3,000 installations. Okay, that's important. I can give you a testimonial of somebody in your community. Mm. Okay, that's important. I got awarded best shower door in, you know, Santa Cruz. Okay, that might be good. So what are the important things? What would it say? That's the company I want to do business with. I'd love to see a list of what other people feel is important. You know, somebody that gives back to the community, somebody that, I don't know, just goes on and on. What's the feel good part that says, I want to deal with Chris Phillips, or I want to deal with Mike, or I want to deal with Vitor? What is it that's going to make your company stand out against ABC Glass Company? You know, Adrian, you got to do the same thing. Apex, why is Apex going to be there? Give me a list of things that Apex is going to offer people.
Better service, honest. Okay.
Good, good. But you got to prove it. Everybody can say that. Yeah. You got to prove it. How do you prove it in an ad? You got 3 seconds to get their attention. How do you prove that? That's the key to marketing. How do you get inside their head and say, that's who I want? Because your competitor is going to say better service, better product, better. Everybody says it. Look through the yellow pages if you have any left. But that's what they would say. Best prices around, guaranteed number one, you know, whatever it is. You got to get in their head right away. What is it that's going to make you stand out that they're going to think about you?
You know what, Bill? Those are, I mean, I couldn't agree more with what Chris said previously and what you're saying. I think price, as I've gone, as I've gained years in this business, price is one of the easier things to deflect, to be honest with you. Because if you position yourself as a custom glass, you know, custom shower installer, then when they come to you and say, well, I went to Lowe's or Home Depot and there's a Dreamline door there, it's 3/8. It has brushed nickel hardware. It has the through the glass handle. And they only want $700 for it. And you're telling me you want $2,400. Obviously, they have to pay for an installation. So there's money. But how, to me, it's easier to bat that question out of the park when you start talking about the nuances of measuring, the installation technique, you know, the close your ears, Chris, but the silicones that you use, you know, what is the height that you want? Dreamline will stamp doors out all day long, for instance, that might be 72 inches or 76 inches tall, but you know what? 75 and 11/16 is going to hit this grout joint. And it's from an eyesight standpoint, it is, you're going to love this. And so I think your credibility increases when you can address those type of nuanced and specifics to their enclosure. Dreamline makes a shower door. Some of these other companies makes a shower door that, you know, will quote unquote fit anything and everything. I'm going to make a shower door that fits your shower, period.
You hit the nail on the head. Exactly. Bingo. They make it for everyone. They're a one trick pony. You're making it for the customer. I'm making this door for you. The door I'm making for you isn't going to be made for your neighbor and a neighbor and a neighbor.
Right.
We're doing it for you. Dreamline doesn't come out and see that your wall's quarter inch out of square. They'll see it. They're going to give you a bigger gasket.
Yeah.
Plus, you're measuring it for Dreamline, right? You make a mistake, Dreamline's going to say, hey, this is what you sent me.
Yeah.
But take that pressure off. Let us measure it for you.
Right.
Let us guide you.
And that's the value. That's the reason I'm at 2,800, 3,000, and they're at 17. Can you live with that?
Yeah.
Maybe you can.
17, but you still got to go get somebody to install it, and they're not going to do it cheap.
No.
And it's going to
be. They might not do it right.
It's going to be an experience. What was that? Adrian showed us the Texas door the other day. Is falling out of the hinge. I can't believe the thing didn't blow up.
Yeah, right.
That's my install. That's one of the installers I had. Oh my god!
Oh, it was. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, no, it was no. It was okay. So this guy I hired. Oh my god! He took out the little pins out of the damn thing. Well, hey, so just a little update. The customer finally admitted that he tinkered with it. And so that's why I said so they finally, so some guy told me, well, yeah, I got to apologize to the Texans, I guess.
Those guys are not very forgiving.
No, I'm not.
Is that what that's called tinkering is when you're pulling on the door from the handle?
No, he said he got a screwdriver and he was trying to tighten up the screw or loosen it. I don't know what they did.
Wow.
But,
I can't believe it didn't blow up. I really can't.
Yeah, for sure.
They lucked out.
Trust me, there's a big old sliver missing on the side. I got to replace it for them. That's another thing, too. I don't know what to tell the customer. Hey, man, you tinkered with it. You got to pay for it now. But I might, you know, split the cost with them, you know, just because, you know, I'm a nice guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Put that in your ad. Apex Shower Doors. I'm a nice guy.
I'm a nice guy. That's a good slogan.
I'm a nice guy.
I want a nice guy.
What's that saying about nice guys? I can't remember how that
goes. Yeah, that's true. I know this.
Hey, I'll tell you a quick story a guy told me. A marketing guy who's like, you know, into a lot of different businesses. And along the line, he started a bakery business. And it was really, you know, doing these really fancy like wedding cakes and stuff like that. I mean, like really high end stuff, and was not doing well at it. We just couldn't make sales. And it was like nothing wrong with cake. The cakes were delicious and they were beautiful and they were like perfect, but they just weren't able to sell them. And so, you know, they kind of all got around, you know, the partners and everybody to figure out what's going on here. And they did a little bit of research. And what they discovered was that their price point was too low. That people saw the price of the cakes and thought, this cake cannot possibly be a quality cake. It's just not priced high enough. It wasn't in the range of competitive, you know, wedding cakes. He said they raised their price up, got their price up in the right range, and they started selling like crazy. So, you know, that's something that people aren't really aware of. I mean, you can price yourself out of the market by going the wrong way on the price.
You can do two things. Price yourself out of the market where you don't make sales, or if you do make sales, price yourself out of the market by going out of business, by not carrying enough margin. So both things could happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And so I've had more than one customer tell me, you guys had the highest price. We got three prices and yours was the highest. And we're going with you because we like you. You're a nice guy.
You can use that. Use it before Adrian does. I'm a nice guy.
I'm going to have a picture like that in my ad.
There you go. Two thumbs up. I want to see that. Start posting it on our group. Oh, no. This would be a good case study, really. There's a lot of guys that are interested in changing that name. And Adrian, you could be the case study for us.
I'm going to try it. Like I said, I'm going to get together with my dad and my brother this weekend and talk about it. So I'm going to see.
Absolutely.
Make it a surprise.
Do you know how good this will make Chris feel that this forum that he's put together, actually the guys rounded the rally up and it made Adrian into a success?
Yeah. That a bigger cool. success.
A bigger success. A bigger success.
A bigger Thank success.
You. Bigger.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. And remember, man, sell the sizzle. People buy the sizzle. It's really not the product they want, it's the experience that they're buying. And like when I'm in someone's bathroom and we're talking about their shower door, and I can feel, you know, they're just a little bit hesitant. I'm just like, wow, this bathroom is gonna look so great. When we put the shower door in here, you're going to love it. Every morning you're going to come in here and you're going to feel like you're in a five-star resort. I can't wait to put the shower door in here. It's going to be so much fun. You know, I just sell that experience because that's really what they want to buy. They want to buy not a shower door, but just like they want to experience that, you know, that resort-like experience. That's why our little motto is luxurious everyday living.
Love it. Love it.
That's great.
I mean, see, I want to buy from you right now.
See that?
I want to buy.
Yeah. Come on down. Man, I'll take care of you, Bill.
How do I write that check? How do I write that
check? I want to go buy those shoes.
The shoes are great. I should bring them next week. So yeah, I can't even think of what brand name is, but they're the best
shoes. I'm gonna go buy them.
Yeah, I'm gonna bring them in and show them to you guys.
I'm going to hire you as my shower door consultant for marketing,
Chris. Awesome, man. Well, I'm available, you know?
Yeah.
I'll work it in. I'll be working in between my fourth and fifth jobs.
He sings, too, so he can make you a jingle.
I could make you a jingle.
There you go.
Yep.
A little guitar riff.
Make me a jingle? You can do that?
Absolutely.
Apex, that's easy.
Yeah, oh yeah, easy.
For Chris, not for me.
Yeah.
I think I might have Godzilla as my mascot on my picture. Godzilla. Now, maybe King Kong. King Kong with the crown. Oh, damn. Being the king. King of showers, my riff.
King of shower doors. That's right.
Apex. No. I don't know.
You got a lot to think about.
All right. Well, to be continued.
Octavio, watch out. This kid's going to do it.
Tell him, Bill. Tell him.
That's right. Going to be a big star someday.
Tell him to put some kind of a note on this Facebook page that he saw it. All right.
Yeah, go for it. I'm gonna link him to it too. Hey, I'll dabble on it. Hey, right. You gotta watch
till next week. I want to see a logo. I want to see a logo for you from next week.
Oh, I know. I'm trying like to look for something that'll give me. I need to get inspired right now.
No excuses. No excuses.
All righty.
All right, you guys. Let's do it again next week. Okay. Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you.